I am so thrilled that I get to be with you guys again this morning. I just want to dive right in. Can we do that? How many of you have your Bibles with you? Can you hold it up, please? Let me see it. Look at that. Some of y'all's Bibles are glowing. You got them charged up. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And we're going to start in verse 36. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. It says this: "For of him and through him and to him are all things." Everybody say all things. "To whom be glory forever. Amen." Now, I know that this is the end of a chapter, but it's not the end of a thought. Because this is a letter that Paul is writing to the Roman church, the Roman believers. And he's not finished talking about what he wants to talk about. It continues in Romans 12, verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren." Now, anytime you see the word "therefore," you got to know what it's there for, okay? And it's therefore following Romans chapter 11, verse 36, where Paul is talking about giving God glory. And in giving God glory, Paul continues to write, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." Come on, I'm telling you, church, God doesn't want a dead sacrifice. God doesn't want dead worship. In this New Testament, he wants a living sacrifice. He doesn't want an animal. He doesn't want a bull. He doesn't want a goat. He wants us living and glorifying him in every part of our being. Amen? It says a living sacrifice, watch, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning from this subject title, giving God the glory. Giving God the glory. A question came up to me when I was thinking about this message. How do we, or what do we give to someone who seemingly has everything? Have you ever gone to a birthday party to a particular individual that might be very, very well off? And it seems like they have just about anything they could ever want. And you ask yourself, what do I even buy? What do I even bring to this? Have you ever been there? You know, thinking about this with God, how do we as finite and fallible creatures give God anything that he does not already possess? Like, how do we give God glory when the Bible says that he's the King of glory? And the Bible says that Christ is the hope of all glory. And the psalmist writes that he is the God of all glory. I love in Matthew 13 and 25, the writer says that to him who has, more will be given, and he will have in an abundance. And in thinking about this, I want you to know that God's glory is ever increasing. God's glory is never ending. Just let that sink for a moment, to think on that. That for the rest of eternity, you and I and all of us who are a part of that will be able to be a part of his unfolding glory. It's ever increasing. It's ever growing. Why? Because all the glory continues to come to him. Therefore, it just keeps becoming more and more and more. You can never get bored with God. He will always be able to blow your mind. He'll always be able to throw you for a loop, per se. You'll never figure him out. You can't put him in a box. God is ever increasing. That's why I believe when we get to heaven, the reason why those seraphim are all the time singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." The reason they can do that with no bathroom breaks, they ain't taking a break, right? They continuously do it because I believe God is showing them more and more and more of his glory. And the reason why glory keeps coming to him is said in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. It says this: "You are worthy." Everybody say worthy. "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive all glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." One translation I love, it says that for his good pleasure, you were created. Church, you can never tell me that you're not valuable. You can never think that you're not worth anything, because it was by his will and for his good pleasure that you were created. The very fact that you're here today and have breath in your lungs is because he willed you to be. That's pretty amazing. You're special to God. If I feel like this is for somebody, maybe you're going through a rough time, I just need to let you know you're valuable. You're special. God loves you. Don't quit. Don't give up. Your best days are still right in front of you. There's a purpose. There's a reason why you are here. You know, I love that giving God glory and him creating you are in the same verse. Giving God glory and him creating you are connected. You know, there's two words in the Bible when you look at glory, and in the Old Testament, the word is kabod. It means heavy and weighty. See, when God's presence shows up in a room, it's heavy. It's weighty. I love it's the similar to the word of honor. Honor means heavy, weighty, and valuable. See, many of us honor money. We're very much aware when it's leaving, and we're very much aware when it arrives, right? Because it gives our attention. It gets our attention, and we give that honor. But here he's saying that we should give honor and attention to God. He is heavy and weighty, and he's very valuable. His word is what we live by. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Our meals don't cut it. The water we drink don't cut it. Moses could be sustained in God's glory with no food or no water for 40 days because he was in God's glory. I love when Moses says, "Show me your glory. Show me that kabod, that heavy and weighty, shining, glorious, powerful presence that you are." And then we jump into the New Testament and we see a different Greek word for glory that is actually the one being pertained to in the two scriptures that I read to you about giving him glory, and that is the word doxa. I want you to write it down, doxa. I love this. When you look at the definition, it is a place of preeminence. Preeminence means first. First place. Reverential adoration, an audience of one. I love this. God gets glory when you put him first. Put him first in your thinking, in your actions, in your home, in your finances, in your time. When you put God first place in your heart, your attention, he loves it. And I love this word, reverential adoration, meaning to reverently adore him. Guys, he's beautiful. David said in Psalms 27:4, "This one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, to dwell in his house, in his presence all my days, and to what? To gaze on his beauty and to inquire in his temple. Reverential adoration. Some people think it might be weird when you see someone down at the altar on their knees sobbing, wailing before God. And some of us are standing back just watching it happen like they're a little dramatic. No, no, no. You don't know what they've been through, and you also don't know the kind of heart they have for their Father. Reverential adoration, and I love this one, an audience of one. You know, the Bible says that he's a jealous God. What is he jealous of? Your attention. My son, all the time, I'll be on my phone answering emails or something like that. I shouldn't be, but I do, and my son comes up, and he's like, Dad, I want to show, Dad, hey, Dad. And then finally, I just hear the Holy Spirit, Zach. Your son wants your attention. And sometimes I can relate how I feel like I can relate to maybe how God feels when we're constantly giving everything else our attention except for him. And I love this because right now his heavenly state is this. You know, we sing that song, Jesus Be the Center, right? Well, in heaven right now, he is. And he is getting all the attention from everybody there. And eternity is, he is the center. And we are all forever and ever making him, and we're an audience of one person. And God gets glory when you are making him first place, when you are coming before him in reverential adoration, and when you're giving him all your attention. He loves it. This summer, we had a moment at youth camp where the glory of God hit the place in such a way, kids were slain all across the floor. It was dead silent. You could just hear the wind of God moving across the sanctuary. And all of a sudden, I knew that every single student, every person that placed attention was on God. And all of a sudden, my heart just inflamed. And I just knew it was the heart of God. And I started to weep. And it was like God was like, yes! God was like, I have all their attention. It was like God was so excited. God loves it when we give him our attention. It brings him glory. You know, I was praying and 2 years ago, and God gave me this, and I wanted to put it on a slide so you could write it down because I believe the word of the Lord remains forever. But he said this, I am most comfortable in atmospheres and environments that remind me of the one I'm accustomed to. He said, I am most comfortable in atmospheres and environments that remind me of the one that I am accustomed to. Well, what's the one he's accustomed to? Getting all attention. Getting all adoration. I love what Pastor Denise said in Revive. She was praying and she said, I just want God, just pull up a comfy chair. I want God to feel so comfortable around me that he just slides into where I'm at because he knows Zach will do what I say. Zach will say what I want. Zach will do what I want. I'm comfortable around Zach. I like Zach gives me attention. Zach gives me glory. How about you? I want him to pull up a chair at my house, at my kitchen table when I'm eating dinner with my family. I want him to show up in the office in which I work so everyone who comes around the office just says there's something different about your office than everybody else's. Why? Because you make him an audience of one there. You give him the attention. This is why the Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. Means he finds habitation where he's glorified, where he's praised. Another scripture says he's enthroned upon our praises. So when we say, God, I love you. God, you're faithful. God, you're glorious. God, you're all powerful. You're all knowing. Man, he inhabits. He says, this is an atmosphere that I'm used to. And he slides in and begins to do what only God can do. It's his manifest presence. You know, there was someone that I want to talk about this morning. He was the first person to have the job of giving God glory. He was the anointed cherub. His name was Lucifer. Many of you know him as Satan. And this was before he fell. See, in Ezekiel chapter 28, the king of Tyre was dealing with some pride, and Ezekiel starts to talk about it. But all of a sudden, Ezekiel goes from describing the king of Tyre to all of a sudden, he's talking about a supernatural being, and which we identify as a description of who Lucifer was. And I think there's some things we can pull from here. Ezekiel 28 says this, "Thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes." Underline that. If you're taking notes, write that. "Timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day that you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers." So not only did he give God glory through the worship of timbrels and pipes, it says here that he also covered God's glory. What a job. What a job to cover the glory of our Heavenly Father. It says, "I established you." That word established is similar to endowment, where we get anointing from. And anointing simply is God's approval. He said, "I approve of you. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones." But this is really where I want you to lean in, because this grabbed me one day when I was reading it. "You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you." Now, when you look at that word perfect, it means mature. And when you look at in your ways, it's talking about moral character, how you conduct yourself, how you handle things. So Lucifer didn't just stand there all day and not move and just sing. No, no, he dealt with things. He handled things. He was over things. And he brought worship and glory unto God in two ways: his pipes and his ways. His pipes and his ways. His praise and his ways. I want you to write that down. He did this until iniquity was found in him. Then we all know he got fired from that job. He wanted his throne to be exalted above his. He wanted all the glory to come to him and not through him. Y'all got to be really careful when you're doing things for the Lord, to whom it is the glory goes to. Lest the Lord so kindly remind you why you are where you are and you have what you have. And I love this. Luke 10:18, it says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning," got zapped down from his position. But here's what's interesting. The Bible says that gifts and callings are without repentance. They're irrevocable. Meaning, when a purpose or a calling has been established, it cannot be taken away. But what's amazing is when you're studying this, there is no other single creature nor other single being that ever retook that position. Not one. But now all of creation, we know it's all creation. Yes, we are the main, right? But the Bible says if you don't give God glory, even the rocks will cry out and give him glory. So all of creation now has stepped into the position and has refilled the job that Lucifer once had of giving God the glory through worship. And this is why the devil can't stand you. Because every single time that you give God praise, every single time you love your enemy, every single time you do good to those who despitefully use you, I'm telling you what, it makes him mad. I love this just for a second. I love that in this scripture, when the position hasn't filled yet, John 4 says, this is why the Father is seeking such a one, to worship him in that way. Look at John 4 says this, 23. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers, do I got any true worshipers in the house? Come on now. I love you guys. We'll worship the Father in spirit and in what? And in what? For the Father is seeking such to worship him. So now, every single time you do the right thing, every single time you walk out truth of the Word of God, like I said, you love your enemies, you do good to those who despitefully use you, every time you praise God, every single time you do what is right, you make the devil mad because you remind him of the job he used to have. You remind him of the job that he once had of giving God glory. So now, you are made to give God glory by his will. You were created, and for his good pleasure you exist. Right after it says giving him all glory, honor, and power. See, your creation and bringing him glory are connected. Turn to your neighbor and say, you were made to give him glory. See, church, worship is our life, and our life is worship. How you live, how you treat people, how you handle business deals, how you handle situations, how you handle conflict, how you handle suffering, all these things are worship unto God. And that is why when we see Paul writing, he goes into detail. But before I get into that, I want to show you this. How do we then give God worship? Through our pipes and in our ways. In our pipes and in our ways. In our praise and in our ways. When I wrote this, the Lord said, see, we're not missing it in our praise, but where we're missing it is in our ways. Ways is your obedience. I was praying one time, and the Lord said this to me, and I wrote it down. He said, the reason that there's no power in their praise is because there's no obedience in their ways. See, because we love to talk about the walls of Jericho and how when they shouted, the walls came down. But can I just give you a little bit of a theological lesson here? Those walls did not fall because they shouted. Those walls fell because they were obedient to do exactly what God told them to do. Because if God never said shout and they shouted, those walls weren't coming down. But when they shouted because God told them to shout, that's obedience, and that's why there was power in their praise. So I'm telling you what, it matters how we live our life. It matters that we walk in obedience unto God, because when we walk in obedience, that's where we get authority. I heard one person say, you can never have authority over something you're entertained by. You get authority by overcoming something. It has no hold on me. It has no grasp on my life. I have authority over this thing. And typically when there's no authority over something, it's given really a way to just run rampant. You got to overcome, and we overcome not by our own efforts, but by the Spirit. See, when we walk by the Spirit and by truth, that's worship unto God. That's worship to him. So Romans 11:36 says, giving him glory. And so Paul continues to write on exactly how we do that. Romans 12, he says this, I beseech ye, therefore, brethren. That beseech is the word parakaleo. Everybody say it with me. Say parakaleo. It means to call alongside. It means to summon. It means to implore. So it's actually a military term used to summon those into battle. So here, Paul is actually summoning us to engage in worship. I implore you, I beseech ye, I summon you, church, to engage in worship in glorifying God. And there's four things he says in here that gives God glory. Can I give you four things really quick? There's four things in this passage we do to bring God glory. Romans 12:1, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present, write it down, your bodies a living sacrifice. The first thing that we do in giving God glory is we give him an upward presentation. An upward presentation. Ye present. And I love that it says that ye present following the mercies of God. Notice it says mercies, not mercy. Mercy is when you didn't get what you did deserve. What you rightfully deserve. It's kind of like this. And I'm not talking about a gift. See, a gift, like grace is when you got what you didn't deserve. But mercy is when you didn't get what you did deserve. When you were going 85 in a 55 and the cop pulled you over, no, that wasn't the favor of God on your life. That was the mercy of God on your life. You did not get what you did deserve. And that was a ticket. Maybe your license pulled at that point. 85 on a 55. But I love that it's not just mercy, it's mercies. Can I just talk to you just for a moment? None of us in here are without God's mercies in our life. See, because every one of us in this place really are only here because he allowed us to be here. So the very fact that we have breath in our lungs, that we're walking every day, is because of his mercy and it's his grace. And some of us, we should be dead right now. Some of us, we should be in prison. Some of us, if you look at your past, there were times where God showed up and did what only God can do, and you knew that was the mercy of God for my life. So every one of us should never come into church just sitting there like, man, I had a bad week. I don't really have much just to give God praise for. No. The very fact that you are alive today says that you should offer up an upward presentation. God, I present myself. My life is not my own. To you it belongs. You said to find life in this life, I must give up my life. So here I am, God, a living sacrifice. I am not doing it the way I want to do it. I'm not doing what I feel's best for my life. Lord, take control of me. I'm surrendered to you. Cuff me. I'm yours. Amen. That's an upward presentation. God, you deserve it all. All the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Anytime I speak, I say the same prayer. Lord, less of me, more of you, none of me, and all of you. Nobody wants me. They want you. Make me a vessel. He deserves all the glory. I love this. Romans 12:1, continuing, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Meaning, it's logical. It just makes sense that when you come to God, you offer an upward presentation. It just makes sense. Number two, in giving God glory, after an upward presentation is a backward from conformation. Not confirm, conform. It says here, Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world. This word not conform means do not assimilate. Do not fasten yourselves to the spirit of this world. See, Rome was the dawn of the human race. It was an empire. And there was a spirit of that age running so rampant that it was causing the believers to continue to walk in sin. And that's why Paul is writing the true gospel, and they said, should we continue to sin that grace may abound? And he said, absolutely not. There was believers sinning. And so he's like, man, Paul could not wait to get there, because the Romans had such an influence on the believers that you couldn't tell the difference between the saints and the ain'ts. You couldn't tell the difference. And what's hard sometimes, church, is that sometimes I think the world has a hard time differentiating the church from the world. The people act just the same, indulging in all the same things that they do. Why are you any different than myself? And when you read the spirit of this age, which I'm going to do, it's in Romans 1, I think you can find some similarities. Romans 1, but God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress, and this is New Testament, okay? All sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth, but God, because he has made it obvious to them, for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky through everything God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Right here, Paul is saying, church, you have no excuse for not knowing God. Verse 21. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. Guys, we do a better job glorifying and worshiping Instagram influencers by sharing all their stuff, liking all their stuff, and these are idols made as mere men. Some of us know our football players, basketball players, than we know better in our major and minor prophets. It says this, so God abandoned them to whatever, guys, listen to the gospel. God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. I'm going to skip slide 22. I'm going to go to slide 23. You read that on your own time. Verse 28. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, hating each other, envy, jealous of people, comparing themselves, coveting people's stuff, murder, hating their brother, quarreling, fighting, deception, which we could throw in division, malicious behavior, gossip, talking about people behind their back, letting all their stuff out about. They are backstabbers. Have you ever been backstabbed? Haters of God, insolent, proud, boastful. You ever been around someone who just talks about themselves all the time? He's saying these are the things that are the spirit of this age. Proud people, boastful people, divisive people, gossiping people, coveting people, comparing people. And this is what the believers are struggling with. He said, it's in the church as it is as much as the world. It says this, they invent new ways of sinning and they disobey their parents. Young people, I'll leave you alone. You get enough of me on Wednesday nights. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyways. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. Let's look at James chapter 4, verse 4. It says this, you adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? Like when we read the Bible, do we really take it for what it means? He's saying, if you love the world, everything in it, and you're being friends with it, he goes, you're an enemy to God. He didn't make you an enemy. You made yourself an enemy because you loved it. And it says, they say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us, look at this, should be faithful to him. Guys, we should be faithful to God. As I am faithful to my wife and she's faithful to me, on that day we said I do, we said no to every other person in this planet, and for the rest of our lives, we say no to everyone else, but we say yes to each other. Jesus wants a church just like that. He says, I want you to say yes to me and me alone. I don't want you to go say yes to me in church and then go back with all your ex-girlfriends during the week. He wants your full attention. He wants all your obedience. He wants your reverential adoration. So first, an upward presentation. Second, a backward from conformation. And thirdly, an inward transformation. It says this in Romans 12:2, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Guys, this is renovation. This is a constant state of metamorphosis. James 1:21 says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is what? Able to save your soul. See, our spirit is saved, but your soul needs saved. I remember an encounter that I had, and I won't get into it because it's personal to me, but I'll never forget what followed it, and I wrote it down in my journal, and I realized that a glimpse of Jesus will save you, but a gaze on Jesus will sanctify you. When you gaze on him, it just cleans you out. Your thoughts, your motives, your intentions. And hear my words, church. The Holy Spirit is judging intentions and motives in this hour. It's just not what you do, it's why you do it. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is full. When that spirit of the age starts messing in your mind, you take it captive, you lock it down, and you beat the fire out of it with the word. You say, no, that's not what the word of God says. And when you do that, rather than giving way to it, it brings God glory. When we let a mess in our mind just be a mess, it won't take long before our mind becomes messy. So you got to clean the mess. I'd like to invite the band. In Ephesians 5:26, that he... Who's the he? The Holy Spirit. This is his job right now in the church. That the Holy Spirit might sanctify and cleanse her. Who's her? The church. Us. With the washing of water by the word. Everybody say word. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Church, look at me. The Holy Spirit is here on a major assignment. And his assignment is to iron out every wrinkle that's in the church and to purify the church through and through, making her holy, set apart. You know, I'm so thankful for my wife. She was always growing and developing into the woman of God that she knew a man would need. And when I married her, I remember that wedding day when I got the text from her that she was at the golf course I was at, and she's in that room getting ready. And my anticipation and excitement, 20-year-old Zach, I was like, I can't wait to see her. I can't wait to see what dress she chose. I can't wait to see what she did with her hair. I can't wait. I know this is intimate, but that's the way Jesus is at the right hand of the throne of God saying, when can I have my church? And God's like, she ain't ready yet. I ain't giving you one with a wrinkled dress, makeup half done, okay? I'm going to give you a spotless bride. And the Holy Spirit, guys, right now is working overtime. That's why when, listen to me, his presence will increase. It's going to continue. And when he shows up in our services, you'll immediately be aware of where you're not with him. And that's his love. He says, get it out the way. I want to be with you. Last but not least, after an upward presentation, backwards from confirmation, an inward transformation, there's an outward demonstration. And in order to bring God glory, Romans 12:2, it says that ye may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. This word means to actively prove. The noun means that you become the proof. The noun of this word is you become the proof. Church, people in the world and in your job and in your home and every sphere of life should look at you and your life, how you talk, how you walk, how you handle things, how when everyone else is freaking out, you're calm, peaceful, joyful. When someone just comes at you and you love them, your life proves. It proves. And when you have that proof of God, that glory of God, it's like Smith Wigglesworth when he sat on a train and a guy didn't even know him, walked up to him and he said, sir, you convict me of my sin. What was he doing? He was living in line and with attention with God in such a way that it proved. It proved. We need to be a church that our light proves of the existence of God, of the glory of God. Amen. I want everybody to bow your head and close your eyes. Nobody looking around. I just want to give an opportunity. Nobody's looking around. If you're in this place and you've known about Jesus, you've come to church, you're doing all the things that you see maybe parents do or you feel like just the right thing, but you've never met Jesus. You've never made him the Lord of your life. Or maybe you made Jesus the Lord of your life, but you've gone astray. You've been battling with things, dealing with things. You've let addiction and sin, things just kind of come and rule over your life. And today you're like, I'm done with that. I'm ready to give God glory with all that I am, and I want to rededicate my life fully to him. or three. You're in here and you've given your life to Jesus, but you know there's more, and you've never been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, the one who's supposed to comfort you, the one that's supposed to empower you. If any of those three apply to you, nobody looking around, I want you to lift up your hand right now in this place if that is you. You want to rededicate your life, give your life fully to Jesus, or be filled with the Holy Spirit right where you're at. Anybody. Anybody. Come on, you got to raise it high. Ushers, can you help me out? Come on, lift it up high. Lift it up high. Don't be ashamed. Thank you. Thank you for that hand. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come on, we're not ashamed. Jesus hung on a cross naked for you. He was not ashamed. And we're not going to be ashamed of this moment. Thank you. Thank you. Well, here's what I want you to do. If you raised your hand, ushers, you can see those individuals. I want you to do something bold for me. I want you to get up from your seat right now, and I want you to come down front. Ushers, thank you. Come on down. Come on, can we give it up for these individuals? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, keep it up, church. Come on, let's give it up for these. What's your name?
Ernest.
Super nice to meet you, Ernest. Listen, heaven is rejoicing right now. All of heaven is excited right now. You're making an incredible decision. Right now, you're giving God glory with this choice. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to pray for you. I just believe that the presence of God is going to come all over you. And then we're going to have one of our pastors come. They're going to take you to a room. They're going to make sure you get exactly what you needed and give you some resources in your hand. But first, I want to pray for you. Can we do that? Church, if you would just stretch out your hands. If you just hold your hands out. Heavenly Father, I pray for each one of these individuals right now. Father, and I thank you right now that your presence would just fill them up, Father God, from the top of the head to the soul. There it is. There it is. Yeah, just let them in completely. Yeah, just let it out. There it is. Just let it out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just fill them up. Fill them up. Fill them up, God, with your Spirit. Fill them till they're overflowing right now, Father. I just thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, Lord, from this moment forward, their life will never be the same. Father, that from this moment forward, there will be things put in place that, Lord, you will give them. And Lord, I thank you that they'll walk it out with all intentionality and all boldness, God. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the glory that is going to be revealed in these three. We thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Come on, church. Can we just praise God? Hallelujah. Well, hey, Pastor Greg is right over here and his wife. If you would follow them, and they're going to take you to that place of prayer, all right? Hallelujah. Come on, give it up for them one more time. Well, it was a good day to come to the house of God. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope you got something out of this today. Connection team, if you would find our first-time guests, please. And our pastors are going to head to the door right now. All right, but other than that, guys, we love you so much. Hey, don't forget this week to give God glory. Amen? Amen. You guys are free to go.